I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to part two of this week's Clash of the Titles, the podcast that pits two movies with loads in common in a fight to the death to see which one comes out victorious. We spent Monday's episode in a police station and today we're backstage at a gig with all the lovely accoutrements that come with that. Beer, snacks, meeting the headline act, watching their lead singer pull a knife out of a dead girl's head, and bewilderingly, Patrick Stewart. Guess he's a fan of Cowcatcher 2. Yes, from 2015, we're talking Green Room.
Okay, I'm with the Eight Rights from Washington, D.C. You guys are hard to find. Why no social media presence?
Music is shared live. It's time and aggression. You gotta be there.
Sorry, guys. Gotta clear out. Follow me.
And then it's over.
So which film in this week's Siege Sucker Punch will be victorious? We'll have a winner at the end of the show, so let's get it on. Welcome to Clash of the Titles.
Release the Kraken!
Hello, Clash Putters. I am Odin himself. I'm not. I'm Alex Zane.
I'm Vicky Crumpton.
I'm Chris Tilly.
Welcome then to part two of Assault on Precinct 13 versus Green Room. As you well know, at the end of this episode, we will have the verdict, at which point we declare which is definitively the better film. Before we get into this episode, it's time for a dip into the digital mail, but it's not.
No,
the digital mail. No one brought it. Fuck in hell.
I left it on the plane. I broke the digital mail bag.
Because you got so much in it.
And it's not the only thing I broke. My, you know the dog I'm friends with, Pele.
What did you do?
Pele. No. Pele in Austin. Pele ate my razor.
Are you joking?
Yeah, my electric razor that I've used to massage my head. Because Pele wanted to get to my stubble shavings to lick them.
And then what happened?
She's broken. She just smashed the thing up while I was out.
I thought you were going to say the dog was dead. Oh my God.
See? God. I nearly killed the dog and then I didn't. So it's like what he wanted from Assault on Precinct 13.
Well. You buried you did that on purpose. You were like, yeah. The dog ate a razor.
Yeah. I thought you meant it swallowed it.
Yeah. Like,
just chewed it up.
Right.
That's annoying, actually. You should ask them to pay for that.
Thanks for letting me stay here for free, Chris.
Yeah, but that was 90 quid.
I'm going to need some money.
Pele was ashamed for the rest of the day, though. She knew she'd done wrong. She couldn't look me in the eye.
Okay, so no review this week, but we can get straight into today's movie. So on Monday, it was police versus gang zombies, and today, punks versus Nazis v. Take Us on a Journey.
You cannot trust a neo-Nazi. What? Even when they're national treasure, Patrick Stewart? Especially their new punk? something the Ain't Rights learn pretty quickly when they witness a bad murder and then are imprisoned in the green room. Although they do actually make it out a few times, but then have to go running back because of dogs. Really evil, massive Nazi dogs. Feedback-averse dogs, so there's a glimmer of hope. Oh, no, there's not. As the band are then brutally picked off one by one by fascist soldiers loyal to Captain Picard until there's only Amber and Pat left. But as it happens, Amber's pretty nifty with a box cutter and a gun, and then a gun again. Basically, she's banging to revenge. Excuse me. So Darcy and Cole snuff it while Amber and Pat wait it out and release the tension of the day with a kiss. Oh, no. She essentially tells him to shut the fuck up, and luckily for him, he does. Do you see... Can I ask you this as a northerner? Do you say Nazi or Nazi?
Nazi.
Okay, I used to say Nazi, oh, and then Mark shamed me until I changed what I do. I've always been curious.
I wouldn't be worried about what they think. Who cares? Who cares how you pronounce their name?
Thank you, sister. Yes, good. Mark, idiot.
Call them what you like. Knobheads, I call them.
So, now then, I was really excited to see this. I'm glad we're doing it, but it did pass me by at the time. I felt guilty about it because I knew I'd like it. But I just didn't see it. So there we are. So it's a first watch. What
first
about
watch.
You? Yeah.
Never seen it. No. I've kept meaning to sort of...
And it's really weird because Blue Ruin is... Netflix really wants me to watch Blue Ruin. And I haven't. And it's... I don't know why. I like all of this.
You won't be told what to do.
No.
That's true. I've got scrolling forever. You didn't think of that, did you?
I've also been banging on about it since we started this podcast. Yeah. That I want to do it with Assault on Precinct 13.
Yes.
Because I know the people that made this. And I chose not to see their first film, Blue Ruin, when I was at a festival in Austin, because I thought, oh, I can't see my mate's movie over this bigger film I should see.
Right.
And then I immediately regretted it when it started winning all these awards. Yeah. And I did eventually watch it, and it was a friggin' masterpiece.
Is it really good?
It's really good.
Okay.
It is unbelievably good. And so when
what's
I had the opportunity...
What's it about, Blue Ruin? Can you say without spoiling
it? We spoke
it?
About it at length when we were away together. It's a revenge... It's a very slow revenge drama that gets somewhere very dark at the end.
Okay.
And... the lead actor is Macon Blair, who plays Gabe here.
Yes.
I'll talk to you about it a little bit. But yeah, so I wasn't going to make the mistake twice. And so I saw Green Room at the earliest possible opportunity. it was at the London Film Festival at an early press screening. And yeah, it's a great audience film as well.
I bet it is.
Oh, yeah. It's a brilliant film. But yeah, when you're all in it together and there's so many shocking moments and the tension is so high, it felt amazing in that room. So. Yeah.
So I'll tell you a bit about it, but you can correct me if I get any of this wrong. I haven't got very much.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little bit embarrassing. Like, I'm at the wedding on Saturday night on the dance floor, singling out people involved with this film, asking them to tell me anecdotes while they're dancing and the DJ's playing. And then I ran to the toilet and wrote them all in notes on my phone.
Oh, well,
so it might be a bit patchy what I got.
Feel free to take over during this section. Yeah. It's not my favourite section. So it's written and directed by Chris Jeremy. Is it Saulnier?
Yeah, Jeremy Saulnier.
Saulnier. So based on his own short film. He knows the punk world. So this, all I'm going to talk about is my experience of this. Like,
yeah, he was a singer, or I've heard him call himself a yeller.
Oh, really?
In a hardcore band. But he said his friends were in sort of bigger hardcore bands and they were playing gigs and touring. So he felt like he was very much immersed in that world and culture, which I think you can feel when you are watching this film.
This is what I mean. And it brings you back to, you can tell it's authentic. It doesn't feel like a tourist view. Mm. And in some ways, you're like, oh, do you have to have lived experience of something to do a good job? But and that's a huge debate. But when you do have lived experience of it and you just do a brilliant job, then those things come together and you can, it's like confidence in the details.
Yes.
And not hand-holding. Like, the bar that exists, I've never seen a place like that. I don't know if that's a real thing or not, but you just believe it exists because he knows it does and you can feel all of that in the film.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a few rugby clubs I've been to back in the day.
Bloody hell, even me, I was like, even I wouldn't go in there.
But he also said that, like, as a teenager, going to those gigs was the first time he'd seen a full-grown adult Nazi.
All right.
Like, and realised that, oh, this actually exists in the world, in America, at this point in time.
Wow, that's scary, isn't it?
That really is. That's the scariest thing, because it does feel so authentic, and because then you sort of go, yeah, this happens, this is a thing.
Well, the big thing about this film was it was 2015.
Yeah.
When I certainly didn't realise there was a problem with Nazis in America. And then Charlottesville happens 2 years later, the Unite the Right rally where that murder happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think they had their finger on the pulse with this film about where America was heading.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary, isn't it? Like, where I live, there's been some protests outside a pub, and they are Nazis! Like, they're not... They're not shy about it.
No, it's a Nazi pub.
No, it's a really cool pub. And what they've got is they have events on. They have spoken word, storytelling. It's a family pub.
Right.
And they had a drag act reading kids' stories or something. I don't even know, because it's so innocent. And so kids can go and watch a drag act read stories. Cool. But the Nazis do not like that. And so this pub became, like, you know, whatever, the middle of the freaking culture wars, because the left turned out to be like, stop boycotting. The Nazis were outside being like, don't let your kids be read to by a drag act, right? It's, you know, it's, I'm not even going to say what they were saying. So then the left turn up in force to protest against the protest. Then the police get involved. What side are you on, police? And it's like, that's like 10 minutes from my house. And it's horrible. It's brilliant that the left turned out in force. But when people are self-identifying as, yeah, I'm a Nazi, like, it's, yeah, like, they weren't all Nazis. Some of them are just very concerned parents who can fuck off. But they were Nazis.
But were they standing with the Nazis?
Yeah, they bloody were. They're like, I'm not a Nazi, but I wouldn't let my kid anywhere near
it. It's a big swing, is it? Shall we, as mothers, shall we just go and stand over there and accept? No, we'll stay with the Nazis. Okay, we'll stay with the Nazis.
Awful people.
That's got to be awkward at the school gates.
Yeah. Did I see you with a Nazi? Terrible. So, yeah, as you said, Jeremy Saunier was a skater kid, and he loved the Dead Kennedys, and so that's their song that the Ain't Rights play, which is Naughty Punks Fuck Off, at the beginning.
I think I only know one Dead Kennedy song. Oh, a cover of California Uberalis.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, oh, that's good. Yeah. Oh, thanks for that.
No worries.
I didn't think I knew any. I sing along to that. And I think that's brilliant. And then, but that's as far as I can go there. So yeah, he self-financed it because Blue Ruin. Everybody loved Blue Ruin, and Jeremy Saunier says he was offered bigger stuff, but he had to do this for his hardcore friends because it's, you know, it's from a place of authenticity and all the rest of it. Patrick Stewart is in it because they've got the same management company, which is a thrilling anecdote, but it all just came together. So this is the only thing I was snagged on. So it cost about 5 million. But I read it only made 3.5, and I cannot get my head around it.
Maybe so. I mean, I don't know the ins and outs of that, but yeah,
was
maybe
it?
So.
But does it feel like a hit? It felt like the reviews are good. It's cheap-ish. It's well done. It's well. There's nothing wrong with this film. So why would it not just go through the roof? I don't understand.
I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't play in many cinemas. To be honest, for, you know, art house films that get good reviews don't always get a huge wide release.
I think it's a pretty standard thriller. To be honest, like, I don't think it's that.
It's a bit of a cult classic.
I bet it is. Excuse me. I bet it becomes a cult classic. Mm. All right. So that's all I have. Let's talk about the film, shall we? So we meet the Ain't Rights. I loved it. Like, they, I know, I'm, because I know with the poster and all the rest of it, like, I know these are the good guys, but they do take time to establish that they're good guys in a minute. But they're living hand to mouth, they're living in their van. I find that quite romantic. And I like the dynamic of the group.
You used to have a little camper van, didn't you?
Oh, I loved my van.
It's gone now.
It's gone, had to sell it. Can't fit three kids in the back. That's the only reason. And it's a money pit. Was the other reason.
It was one of those VW campers, wasn't it?
Yes.
They are money pits.
Unbelievable. Mm. Eye-watering. Anyway, so singer, Tiger, which is Callum Turner, bassist Pat Anton Yelchin, guitarist Sam Alia Shawkat, drummer Reese Joe Cole. There we go. So they're stealing petrol, which even then you're like, that's quite cute, moving from gig to gig. So this is fun because it is a horror-ish, but they've got no social media, so that's just done. They will not be able to call for help. Love it. And the way that they cover that off is it's part of their, like, punk credentials, and you believe it. They feel really genuine, and they don't feel like arseholes for being like, well, you know, we're not on social media. So talking...
Tick that box.
Yeah. Get it done early. And so, like, confidently, you don't even notice that's what's happening. So... And they're talking to the music journalist, and this is important for later, who their desert island bands are. And normally, I hate stuff like that, but they just feel so real. Like, it feels like it's important to them. It didn't feel gatekeepery. I think the tightness of the group, the equality that you can feel in that group. Yes, there's a girl in the group, but she's not the girl of the group. Do you know what I mean? I just loved all of that. They just seemed really real to me. So they're set up with this gig. There'll be no burning crosses, no talking politics. And so you're like, oh, you're the good guys. That's just for anyone at the back who wasn't paying attention. We are not white supremacists, is what they're saying. So good. That's going to become important. And then they get to this dive bar, and it's really scary. Like, you were aware?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's terrifying. Just the building
up, the
is
minute,
scary.
The whole thing, like, it's like Deliverance dialed up to 11 with Nazis. It's just, you feel,
are not welcome
you
here.
You feel so isolated there.
Yeah. The car park's terrible. Everything about it is horrible. It's a weird middle ground. They're not welcome by the looks, but because Gabe straight away like, okay, here you go, there's the green room, there isn't really time to go, oh, maybe this is a bad idea. They're just sort of straight on with it, yeah, which is really good sort of economy.
Yeah, so that is my friend Macon Blair, who plays Gabe, and yeah, I was asking him about this film, and what was interesting about what he told me was that he wasn't cast in this role initially. So he's, you know, best friends with Jeremy since they were kids, and they've worked on everything together, but while he helped him develop the script and the movie, they never talked about casting. He wanted to be in the film. Mark Webber was supposed to play Gabe. Mark Webber plays Daniel.
Yes.
But Macon auditioned for it by shaving his head, getting some fake tattoos, and then having travel across New York to go and shoot his audition with him looking like that. But it worked, because he got the role and Mark Webber was recast.
He should, because he's in Blue Ruin. That's his audition, isn't it? Like,
evidently not.
Wow.
Mark Webber was cast in
Wowzers.
The role, and then he changed
what
it once he saw his mate's audition tape.
He's so good in it as
he's
well.
He's fantastic. Mm. He's brilliant.
Yeah.
So our band are opening for Cowcatcher. They are not nice people. Wikipedia tells me they are NSBM, which is National Socialist Black Metal.
Okay.
Not good. You don't want any of that.
And so that's my other friend, Brent Wersner, plays Worm, the lead singer.
Oh, right.
The killer. Yep. The guy who spits at them. All he told me was that he just realised quite early on in the shoot that he had to stay away from the band, the main characters, because they were getting on too well and laughing and joking. Yeah. And he wanted to feel an element of fear from them, and so he stayed away. He's fucking terrifying in this film.
Yes,
he has,
yeah,
like three scenes.
That bit where he leans in and just goes, "Your set was pretty good." Yeah. Yeah. What was the name of the second to last song? That was hardcore. That's what I did. And you're like, oh my God. This is fucking
rock on, Brent.
So yes, it will turn out that Worm of Cowcatcher is a murderer, but we'll come back to that. So then we just do some character stuff here, and it's a good scene sort of to get you into the music. So the Ain't Rights, they're going to antagonise the crowd. They play Nazi punks, fuck off. But that establishes that they're brave as well.
Yeah, I still think, I love it.
Yeah.
It's a bold, bold swing playing that at a Nazi club. And then for the Nazis to go, oh, actually, we like this next one.
Yes.
You've just spent a song telling us to fuck off.
Yeah, they love that but don't they?
Do they?
They hate it at first. Like, boo, you don't tell us to fuck off. And then I think these kids have got balls.
Right, okay.
Maybe that's what it is.
Fine.
Yeah, they win the round, and then the mosh pit, you know, it's shot it. Jeremy Saulnier shot it very lovingly, very slowly, to show you the beauty of the music that he hears. I mean, I don't like a mosh pit. I feel comfortable to say that. I'm quite scared
of
them.
Did you ever, though? Because I don't like them now, obviously. But when I was a kid, you used to sort of go in and then sort of run out again.
Do you want to know why? And this sounds awful. I don't want to spill my drink. And that's the only reason I won't go in, apart from the physical brutality. But primarily, the first gigs I ever went to that even had a mosh pit.
How is this news?
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. But I've bought a pint of Red Stripe, and it's cost me some of all of my money I've earned down Darwin Fruit and Veg Market. I don't want to spill it, so no, I'm not in the mosh pit.
The best mosh pit I've ever seen. Actually, we'll have to talk about it. I've just realised who it was. It's a band that we don't talk about anymore.
Not Gary Glitter again, is it?
Not. No, more recent, but not far away from that awfulness.
Oh, God, I know it. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I think I know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's enough.
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. All right, well, we'll get back to these bad people instead, shall we? Mm. So, anyway, we've done the gig. We can go home. No, we can't, because Emily is dead. Pat has seen too much. So the thing, oh God, are you going to say something?
It feels real, this situation, though. It feels very believable, like,
yes,
just that wrong place, wrong time. Sometimes that can be unconvincing in a film, but I felt like this could happen.
Mm. Yeah.
This could happen to me in the wrong situation. Like,
yes,
you're in the wrong room at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people.
And your whole life is ruined.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with stuff like that. You just piss off the wrong person and it's all over for everyone.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like 10 seconds either way and it wouldn't have happened. And you think about the whole day, if you'd lost 5 seconds or gained 5 seconds or whatever, you wouldn't have seen it, and then you just would have moved on. That, you know, the sort of multiverse thing.
Oh
about
my God!
That.
Or if the doors had closed, they slide together.
Oh my God!
Your whole,
and then you don't meet him. Oh no! Wait, what is it? You do go home and see that your boyfriend's cheating on you.
Yeah,
I like that
it's
film.
Crazy.
That is so crazy. Yeah. Just give the phenomena a name.
Yeah.
The slidey.
So where are you drinking these days, Chris, that this could happen to you at any...
No, at some of these festivals, it can be a bit weird.
Really?
The fucking toilets in the... not ideal. I will be honest.
Yeah, that's a good example. That's a good example, actually.
Yeah.
You could walk in that toilet...
and not be welcome.
And find a person with a knife in their head. We go there every week, Alex. This is not beyond the realms. Yeah. Might find your bloody knife headed, your knife in your head from that bloke you didn't give money to. The Rude Tube fan.
Yeah, he was a big fan. Big fan, though.
So I love the fact that... So Gabe's trying to just be like, okay, listen, just don't go anywhere. But you know he's a bad dude because he's all, you just know he is. Well, but he's learning.
He does return with a gun.
Yes.
But the cops are coming.
Yeah.
I love the way he's managing it all.
Yeah, like, it's brilliant. I love the line, we're not keeping you, you're just staying. Yeah. I fucking love that. That's so good.
You know, and that moment outside when he's paying the kids to stab each other.
Oh, my God, I love that.
That's great.
It's so... interesting the way it's being stage managed. Like, I felt like I was learning how to cover up a murder.
Because when he takes the phone, because obviously Pat has called it in, so then you're like, oh, well, they're just going to kill them all, or whatever, whatever. Panic, panic, panic. But no, we'll finish the call to the police, because it's more suspicious if you don't. So he takes the phone. Oh, I'm really sorry, we got cut off. This has been a stabbing. And then you're seeing him pay these kids. You're like, what the fuck is going on? Mm. But then that's the darkness of it. Like, there are things in this world I do not know. And they've done that before. It's just so good. Like,
it's the loyalty thing, isn't it? It's the loyalty to the cause, the desire to be part of this gang and raise your profile in the gang and be known in the gang.
Yeah,
the
earn
kids.
Your laces. Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
And they're so young, the kids that are doing this. You know they don't really understand what they're doing or why.
Yeah. And later on, at some point, it's like, oh, you're not even going to get paid for that. It seems like they're going to get paid, and it's like, actually, no, you're not.
Mm. Yeah, give me the money back. It's all going to be vouchers anyway.
Yes! Oh. So good! Right, before we meet Patrick Stewart, we'll have a break.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Because we're going to meet Patrick Stewart, which is mental. I'd forgotten he was in it, actually, which is nice, because then when he turned up, Shakespeare, Star Trek, Samuel Beckett, Patrick Stewart, I was like, yeah, this, I'm going to love this.
Yeah. And I'd heard, so I heard stories about them clashing, Jeremy and Patrick Stewart on set, okay, and that Patrick Stewart sort of took him to one side. I asked about that, and I was told that maybe it was more Jeremy taking Patrick to one side.
Shut up.
Happened, they had to have some kind of clear the air talks while they were shooting it. It wasn't working.
Really?
And but they sorted it out. They had the heart to heart, like grown ups, sorted it out, and then it all went like clockwork. But
really? Do you think Patrick Stewart was just so deep into character that he was like, I'm just going to be a nasty bastard?
Maybe he was acting badly. I don't know if you've ever seen the Moby Dick he was in.
Hey, now, I know you're tired, but come on. I was obsessed with his costume. Because he's got shirt and jumper, his knee is clean, bit outdoorsy, obviously gets his hands dirty, but would like wash it. It looked like to me, if my granddad, God bless him, was taking me for a nice lunch, that's what he would look like.
Yeah, no, it is it's the granddad look, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks amazing. So, right, the band are trapped in the green room. You're like, oh, we're trapped. But then it's like, no, good. This is where we need to be. This is exactly where we want to be. This is the safest place. Reese knows wrestling, which I thought was a fun touch.
Yep.
And then overpowers Big Justin. And then, so Amber sort of, like, I think she's meant to switch sides. She's with Cowcatcher when we first meet her, but she's dead because she's sad because her friend's dead.
Yeah, I think the minute her friend's dead, she switched sides. I never felt that there was any moment where she was going to leave with Cowcatcher, was she?
No, but then I wondered if, maybe because I like this film, maybe I wanted a bit more where she seems on their side, the side of the band straight away, and there's maybe a missed twist. Mm. There, but that's asking for a lot anyway. So Darcy's decided, right, they've got to go, crowd's got to go. And then he's got, I love this scene, like this paternal trickery of like, I only want the gun because it's unregistered, so don't worry about it. Like, everything's going to be fine, son, kind of thing. And then when Pat goes to give it to him, obviously, like for me, first real shock, the stab wound in the head, I was like, that's okay. But when Pat gets his arm basically hacked off, I found that very shocking.
It's two things. First of all, it's really realistic gore.
Yeah.
And the second thing is, it's that age old thing. You are left to imagine what was happening behind that door because you don't see it. You just see him with his shoulder against the gap in the door, and you're just imagining machete after machete going into his arm.
I've not seen this film in 8 years, and I would 99% sure I saw his arm get hacked off.
Oh, really?
So that it worked. I've filled in the blanks.
Yeah.
Because all you do is see the aftermath. But it's just, I feel like I've seen it. So it does the job because that is all you need to see.
It's fantastic. And then just a really lovely, just the tightness of this group I love. And so, you know, there's not a moment where they're like Reese, who's a wrestler, says to Pat, well, you lasted longer than I would have done. And it's just like, that's what happened to you. You were really brave. And I think that's such a good moment.
Yeah. Yes, which is why I guess it's a little disappointing where Reese sort of goes, it's every man for himself.
Yes.
Eventually.
That's true.
Some of you are going to die. I don't think I'm going to be one of them.
Yeah.
That's what my read on it is. He thinks he's probably going to make it.
Yes.
I feel like people behave in quite realistic ways here, though. I like the fact that nobody wants the gun.
Yeah.
Because that's how I would be. If you're thrust into this similarly violent situation and you're not a superhero or an action hero, you don't want a gun. I don't know what I'm doing.
I would blow my own foot off. Like, yeah. I don't want to hold a gun.
Fucker shoots my foot off!
Yeah.
Yeah. But Amber,
they're just dumb kids in a band.
But she's a bit of a psycho, so she just kills Big Justin. Like, she's having none of it. So she's like your secret weapon, basically.
Oh, when she slices him open, he dies at that point.
He does die, yeah.
Okay.
She has no qualms about that. But, okay, fine. So this is two brilliant scripty things that I like. Well, maybe one's a little bit frustrating, but one's very expertly, brilliantly done. So they find the basement, the drug lab thing. Now, obviously, movie logic, that's an escape hatch. It might not open right now, but it will open at some point. No, it fucking won't. Mm. Brilliant. And then Pat starts to tell the story because he's injured, he's tired, whatever. And the story will be, in a normal beat like this, I need to tell you something I've never told you before because I think I'm going to die. But all it genuinely is a story about paintball. And even though later it is the thing that kind of quote-unquote saves the day, it isn't that thing of like, let me tell you, like, the movies like that always stop while someone says, I did a thing when I was young and I hate myself or whatever. But it's like, no, remember the paintball thing. I love that. I think that's fucking brilliant. So now they tool up and they leave. Oh, and then Tiger is killed by a dog, and I just can't bear it.
It's so good.
I can't cope with it.
I mean, since dogs like that scare the shit out of me.
Me too.
Big dog was what I've got my scar on my back from when I was a kid. With big dogs, man.
I was in a pub on Friday, and there was a little—I don't know any types of dog—a little sweet dog with a group of friends. Really cute. Kept sitting near me and just gorgeous, right? And then I was talking to my friend, and then you know when everything slows down and you can hear ruff, ruff, and this massive dog, like it came in off the street or something, just came charging down and then knocked my arm to basically eat this other dog. But because I've had a drink, my reactions were so chill. I was like, hey, buddy, that's not cool. Rather than, oh my God, we're all going to get eaten by a dog. So I was like, don't do that. And then someone came over and got this big dog away. But then everyone was like, that was a bit weird. It was such a strange moment. It was like this dog was moving through syrup because it's like time slows down. Because your drunk brain is like, this is not good.
Like the Turner and Hooch scene.
And it probably wasn't even that big a dog. Like, I'd had a few pints, but it was not a nice situation.
You sure there was a dog, though?
Things went back to normal so quickly. Yeah. Anyway.
There's a lot of, though, people you think are going to be heroes being killed in a split second.
Straight away.
And not in a particularly heroic manner.
No, like Reese dies now.
Yeah.
And so does Tiger.
Yeah, and so Reese has been the person that's like, oh, every man for himself, but he's just stabbed to death.
And Jeremy was saying he wanted to break the rules with this, and it feels like that. It's one of those all bets are off films. You know, they make bad decisions, they have terrible consequences, and you don't know who's going to last until the end.
And they don't move through the levels as well. They keep going back to the same room, which at first I was like, I think that's going to get on my nerves. But then eventually I was like, that's pretty cool. Because I wanted to see more of the environment and all the rest of it. So we're back to the green room. So here comes Daniel, sent by Darcy to finish the job. He switches sides because he was going to run off with Emily. So then you're like, oh, hooray, everything's going to be fine. Because the band have got an ally who's on the inside. Mm. But oh no, because he gets his face blown off.
Literally in and out.
You're just so gutted. Mm. Like, you're like, that is movie structure. This is how we make an escape. Oh no, we're all just back to square one.
Breaking the rules.
And then Sam gets eaten by a dog as well, which is really shocking.
Yeah, I mean, that thing, we've got a gun. Shall we just go? It's like, that no, don't do that. And also, that couldn't have gone any worse. I mean, they literally, Amber gets shot as well.
She does, yeah.
It's a disaster.
But it makes you realise, you know, when in a normal film, you'd shoot the dog. She does wound it, in fairness, but you've got a gun, it's a dog, you win. But no, you don't, because you can't stop a dog like that if you're a shit shot as well, which most people are.
You just do it. What she should have done is, hey.
Hey, buddy. That's not very cool.
Bad idea.
Yes. So, so we're down to Amber and Pat. So we're back in the room, bit of a shit first date kind of thing. She's saying, I can't die here with you. And so then we get to the war bit of the paintball story, which does pay off, but it's not sickly sweet, but they just do war. Amber's very happy to do, like, go berserker, because that's kind of who she is. So the Nazis are in there. She does that brilliant, like, creep out from the sofa. She's so awesome. She's not squeamish at all about using the body of her friend in order to help her escape. And so she basically dispatches the Nazis. Gabe, at this point, terrified. I love the spit. I love the fact that he's like, I want to go to jail.
Mm.
Because then you realise that retribution from these people is worse than jail. I just thought that was brilliant.
And I feel like he's just really quickly gotten out of his depth.
Yeah.
So this really confused me, because I felt like he was very much, you know, that member of a gang that there always is, who isn't as strong as the rest of them, who isn't like tooled up, but he's smarter and he's sort of a bit of weaselly, but he's very much into the cause and he likes having this muscle behind him. So in any other world, without this gang that he was a member of, he probably would be bullied or, you know, the bottom of the pile, but now he can be a big guy.
Yeah.
Something didn't sit right about him suddenly going, I want to go to jail at this point. I was just like, okay, that's not my reading of how I'd interpreted your character.
Sure, I mean, I feel like he's not in the inner circle, is he? Because he's given his red laces
He's graduated. That's
he's graduated. But I feel like he's seeing this other side of Darcy, in that Darcy's about the cause and the ideology, but he's really about protecting his business and his enterprise.
Yeah.
And so I think he's seeing, is this a business to this man rather than does the cause?
The cause, yeah. Because very early on, he's like, well, Cowcatcher have seen too much, so they've got a goal, so bad heroin for them. And it's really obvious that he's just cleaning house all the time.
Because it's a film about power structures and hierarchies, and I think he's just seeing this other side of it. But I agree, the turn does come quite quickly. And I did ask Macon about it at the end. Is he really going to the police? Yeah.
I think he looks intelligent, because that's just his face. And he looks like you said, a man that suddenly realised that this is not what he thought it was, for whatever reason. Mm. And it's gone far too far. But it's such a tight-knit community. Everybody knows everybody. No one's going to go after Darcy for what happened. That's why it's good to cast an older actor, because you think you've been doing this a really long time and you're still here. So you understand that he's been doing bad shit for a long time and is capable of anything. Whereas if he was a leader who was younger, then there would be like a usurping kind of thing going on.
But I agree. Maybe I agree with Alex. Maybe it needs another step in between before that switcheroo.
Yeah, I think I'd like... Is there a scene where Darcy realises that Gabe is not on side? Because the giving of the laces is a very paternal, like, you did well, son, and yet it hasn't. It's not enough. Maybe that would have been fun.
Yeah. I after it happened, I was like, it's a double cross. Like, it was so at odds with who Gabe was. I was like, he's got a plan. Like, he's pretending that he wants to go to jail because he thinks the other option is they shoot him dead there and then.
Yeah. Yes. So then we're in the woods. The stage death was weirdly very chilling, as in, this is what you're going to tell people happened to us. Even after everything that's been going on, you've still got the energy and the clarity of thought to be like, we still need to make sure. I don't know. I just found that really cold, which is good. And so it's fun that Pat's kind of there to ruin this death scene, crime scene. But Amber's like, I'm here to kill absolutely everybody. And so they do. They do kill everybody, including Darcy. And then you, the audience, like, that's a victory for society. Like, you're not sad to see that person die. No. It feels a little bit unbelievable that they would be able to do it, to topple this.
And also, and this is terrible, because he's a terrible man. He's a bad Nazi, but that dog that walks, or the dog that's got an hour to live and it walks all the way from the bar to its dead owner and just puts its head on his arm and it's going to lie there until it dies.
Yeah.
I was like, tears in my eyes.
But I also think that's part of the point of the film, that's a good dog and a nice dog. Mm. And this is learned aggression and learned hatred that these kids have experienced, and what that dog has experienced. It's what the film's about, I think.
Yeah, that's a good point. Let me just process that. Yeah, I mean, because the way that, because when he films the dog, he films it from behind and it's running, and you think that's a killing machine. It's just going to attack. And then it doesn't. And they seem quite content. Amber and Pat seem content to let it be, rather than like, well, that might eat us, so we do need to kill it.
Yeah, if you don't think dogs are born evil, you don't think humans are born Nazis.
I don't think dogs are born evil. I really don't. Yeah. I think some dogs are born a bit too big, is my issue.
Some dogs are stupid as well. I mean, some dogs just can't be trained. I'm speaking from experience. I was pointing at the TV while we were watching Green Room. I was like, look, Simon, dogs can do stuff.
Loads of stuff.
And also, when
on
I
command.
Die, I want you to do that. I want you to put your head on my arm. He's just going,
That's a good impression, actually.
So stupid.
I like Pat's line, it's funny you were so scary at night.
Yeah.
Because he is just a little old bald man, isn't he? Why was I frightened of this little old bald man?
Oh, motherfucker.
Yeah, that's true.
What was his thinking when he starts walking away? Like, he's so powerful, he doesn't
it's arrogance, isn't it?
Yeah, that these kids are going to do anything.
It's an arrogance, isn't it? And that's what makes it so satisfying, that he just shoot him in the back.
In some ways, he spent his whole life around armed kids, and nothing's ever gone wrong for him. So he's sort of got so comfortable there that he's forgotten how much they hate him, maybe.
I like that we get a little cut to Tad, just to tell us that Tad hasn't been killed. I think he's hoovering or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because obviously he's tying up all loose ends. So you might think, oh, I wonder if that kid got bumped off because he sent them there.
Yeah.
But no, Tad made it. I mean, he's a bit of a wally, but he didn't deserve to die.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, that is quite sweet. And it's like quite a relief. Yeah. You're right.
And so Cowcutter are dead, though. You see the guy with the syringe in his arm. But Worm isn't. Worm's still alive.
Ain't.
Right, okay.
He's just watching it all.
He's watching telly, isn't he?
So he's there to oversee the murder of, the organised murder through bad heroin of his friends, or did he just not have the bad heroin? Who knows?
I don't know. Well, we'll find out in Green Room 2.
So then the important point, Pat and Amber are sat by the roadside And just to bring it all full circle, he has decided on his desert island band, and she replies, tell somebody who gives a shit, which is brilliant. And Jeremy Saulnier said, that's, you know, when you shake people down to their core, who your favourite band is doesn't define you, which is such an inclusive message. I love that.
Yeah, and I think it's acknowledging that, that, you know, it is a bit of a cliche to have a running thing like that in your film. So we're not going to have it pay off.
Yeah.
What we'll do is, we will have it pay off, but with a punk rock moment, a punk rock joke.
Yeah, and I love the idea that once the police have come and sorted it all out, she will be like, I never want to see you again. This was all awful. Thank you so much. I love that. Brilliant. And that's it. That's the end of the film.
Wonderful.
So we'll do the bits now. Alex, what was your best scene?
My best scene is where Reese and Tiger, in about 10 seconds of each other, meet their ends, either at the hands of a dog chewing your throat out or at the hands of someone waiting outside a window for you to climb out and just stabbing you repeatedly while you're lying prone on the ground. Partially because I wasn't expecting it, and it surprised me, and it told me what you said in the moment, which was this: this movie is not going to play by any rules you know by.
Mine's exactly the same.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Because it's a very memorable, and it's the same with Assault on Precinct 13. It's the moment that you're like, oh no, like anything can happen. What about you?
And Pat's arm hanging off?
Yeah.
No, I really like it when they sing Nazi punks fuck off.
Yes,
I just think it's a really exciting moment that sets everything up in a really sort of exciting way.
Yeah. What's your MVW, Chris?
I mean, all the actors in this are good, aren't they? God bless Anton Yelchin. I think Alia Shawkat and Imogen Poots are great. Macon and Brent, I want to give a shout out to. Particularly as they might listen, so they're the best. But Jeremy Saulnier, he wrote this, he directed this. We've talked about how authentic it is, how real it feels, how exciting it is that we don't know what's going to happen next, who's going to die. It's a great job.
Saulnier. Yeah, it's a fucking masterpiece, this movie.
Amazing. Mine is Macon Blair, actually. And yay! If he's listening, tell your agent I said this. No, actually not quite, but you're like an approachable Jeremy Allen White.
What the fuck? What
because the fuck? Face, mournful, soulful, deep, regretful, all of this thing.
Yeah.
Jeremy Allen White is now somewhere else, but you could, you know, just put it on the old headshot. I'm the approachable Jeremy Allen White. Vanity Fair, Hollywood stars this time next year, no joke.
Fuck hell.
I think that's a compliment.
I'm going to start calling him the Bear. The Blair.
He will love that. Everybody loves Jeremy Allen White. No, I was really... I think he's fantastic.
Oh,
it's just so much depth. And a lot of it is down to his actual the physicality of his face.
Very soulful eyes.
He's got such soulful eyes. Like the Bear.
Wait till you see Blue Ruin.
An approachable Jeremy Allen White. Wow.
That's a huge compliment.
Okay. All right.
What would you change, Alex?
Basically, I love this movie, so I don't have a big change. I wish the bar had a name. I went looking for it online,
too.
And I just couldn't find one anywhere. I'm like, you know what I'm like? I'm like the Titty Twister from Dusk Till Dawn. I'm like this bar. That I like movie bars. Yes. I like to be able to go, the bar in this is that bar.
Yeah.
And I just wish it had a name. I thought about it, and it works for the movie that it doesn't have a name, that it is just this concrete
block. Because everybody
knows
what it is.
Yeah, but I wish it had a name.
I like that. What about you?
I don't like Patrick Stewart's accent.
Ah, oh, interesting.
But that ain't going to be my change. I think the reveal of Patrick Stewart, the character of Darcy, should come a little bit later. I'd like it more if we heard him before we saw him barking orders.
Yeah.
If we just heard this gentle voice from behind the door trying to convince them, because we've seen his behaviour already, so we know not to trust him. But I think potentially we might consider it.
Yes.
If we hear the kindness in his voice from behind the door.
Yeah, that's fun. So mine is, right, when they're in the bar, when they escape from the green room, one of the first times, we're in a bar, right? And I was like, please don't take a drink, because this is real. This is what real people would do. So there's nothing wrong with this, but in a more sort of campy, fun approach to this, someone will go, wait a minute, before we go and do war or do anything, I'll have a shot. Because you're in a bar, there's loads of booze everywhere.
Mm.
And they don't do that. And I was like, okay, so this is the film we're in. You're not going to do that. And it's like you said, all the behaviour feels really, really real right up until the last scene. I don't think those kids would kill Patrick Stewart, it feels like they've been activated. They've sort of turned into superheroes a little bit, where it's like, we have the power and the courage to do the thing when they could just run off. And I think they would just run off. So it feels like it's resisted it so, like, expertly. And then at the last minute, for me, it's like, no, it's okay, we are going
to
do that.
It's the final crossing of the threshold, isn't it? When they have the chance to go away and then they say they're going to go and see about the gunshots.
Yes. And it doesn't feel believable to me. I think you'd be like, no, thank you, we're going to go and never come here again. Because if we don't do that, we might die. And we've spent so long trying not to die.
Would you like the film less, though, if they just wandered off rather than shoot the baddie?
It's so difficult, isn't it?
Like, you've got to give the people what they want.
Yeah, I know.
I want to see Patrick Stewart shot in the back. And then I've earned it.
And then on the bald part of his head that you've seen at the on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Yeah, gone.
Yep.
No, I don't know what the scene would be. There'd be something in the woods between the three of them, and that would be the end of it. And maybe you'd know that Darcy knew he'd won. I don't know. But it just did it. I loved it still.
Yeah.
But the tone had been so consistent, and then at the last 5 minutes, it felt like it changed a bit for me. That's it.
Awesome. Well, now it's time for the verdict.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
So, I know which way you're voting. Don't know which way you're voting. Alex, why don't you go first?
Yeah, okay. Well, I tried to create a bit of jeopardy at the start, and I do think Assault and Precinct 13 is a good movie, but fucking hell, Green Room is a masterpiece. It's. I'm so pleased you introduced me to this movie. It's just from start to... I haven't been this excited by watching a film in so long. And when I looked down Saunier's CV and saw all these other movies of his that I've not seen a single one of, I was like, I cannot wait to explore those. Yeah, just genuinely, Assault and Precinct 13, fine. This is next level good filmmaking.
Vicky?
I know that Assault on Precinct 13 is a masterpiece. It's also boring, although you get points for the brilliant song. So the authenticity of Green Room, to me, I'm being invited into a genre I'm familiar with, and I'm being allowed to have a little look around through the lens of it's pretty formulaic, really. But then when it does fuck around with script structure, it just does it in ways that are really exhilarating. And the kids are quite sweet and the Nazis are bad, and that's pretty broad and binary, and that is absolutely fine. And it's just that perfect storm of a person who knows this world, who's very good at what they do, brilliantly cast, totally believable. It's so really good, and I'm really pleased with everybody involved. It's brilliant. So it's Green Room. Sorry,
we have a winner.
Yeah.
It's Green Room. I mean, I pretended it was close at the start of Monday's episode. It wasn't. Assault and Precinct 13 is cool and fun, and it was amazing seeing John Carpenter like appear like this fully formed filmmaker. And I like how far ahead of the curve he was. But like, in terms of being the head of the curve, I think Green Room, as I said earlier, it feels spookily prescient about where we are with these fucking Nazis and stupid people blindly following the sick ideology of these manipulative bullies. And that's grim, but it's also cool and fun, and it has me on the edge of my seat in a way that Assault and Precinct 13 just doesn't.
Oh, no.
And the fact that it does all those things while at the same time being really, really about something makes it easy this week. 3 for 3.
As Chris said, we do have a winner, and the winner is Green Room. But don't forget, you can have your say when the poll goes up on Twitter. Let us know how right or wrong we got it. I don't think we did get it wrong this week at all. I think it's definitely Green Room is the winner. Right, let's look ahead to next week and the start of our Merry Clashmas Christmas countdown. And the clue I gave on Monday was, have a super Christmas. We all had the same clue. Because it's the best clue for these two movies. Next week's clash is Batman Returns versus Iron Man 3. That's your clash. Batman Returns versus Iron Man 3 superhero movies set at Crimbo. lovely stuff. Do your homework. We'll be doing Batman Returns on Monday between now and then. Do subscribe on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, and follow us on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok, where we are at ClashPod. Have a bloody lovely weekend. Bye-bye.
Clash of the Titles is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hold up.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.